Coming up on KUCB News, Unalaska will likely see another quiet summer tourism season. And an Alaska Native model was on the cover of April's Vogue Mexico magazine. Stay tuned.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by Redfish Electronics, now providing new, used, and refurbished computers, tablets, iPods, MP3s, phones, phone accessories, and flat screens. We also carry external hard drives for your digital storage needs. Redfish Electronics is located in the airport parking lot next to Northport Rentals. Redfish Electronics can be reached at 359-2205.
Good afternoon. You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM on Alaska. I'm Maggie Nelson with some local news on Monday, May 3rd, 2021. This summer is shaping up to be another quiet tourism season in Unalaska. The possibility of cruise ships coming to the island is still uncertain. The ferry MV Testamina is scheduled for just 5 sailings to Unalaska, only half of what it was originally scheduled for 2020 and in other recent years. And while restrictions and mandates loosen and more people are vaccinated against COVID-19, many people remain hesitant to travel. Carlin Enloe, director of the Unalaska Visitors Bureau, says when it comes to planning around mandates and protocols that frequently change, preparing for this year's cruise ships has been a roller coaster.
It's so much to keep up with because it changes every single day, and you have so many different guidelines, whether it's local, state, federal, or corporate or whatever, that these cruise ships are having to adhere to.
Enloe says the island is looking at the possibility of about 5 cruise vessels visiting this summer. She says all of those ships would be smaller, with 250 or fewer passengers, and that could be a good thing in terms of keeping Unalaskans' exposure to the virus low.
You're going to see them meeting some pretty high COVID protocols to be able to make these sailings work for them, but that's easier for them because they have a smaller passenger capacity.
The city's port director, Peggy McLaughlin, says like cruise ship traffic, she's not sure how many tourists to expect visiting through the Alaska Marine Highway system. But with a loss of about 10 staff members at the Unalaska School District this year, she does expect to see some significant movement of residents on the Testamina.
We've had a kind of a mass exodus of many of our teachers and school people, and that is a preferred choice of moving families and households for the school system.
McLaughlin says the Testamina, which is nearly 60 years old, provides crucial services to rural areas like Unalaska. It's not just essential for moving people and their belongings on and off island, she says, but also provides cheaper and more accessible means for connecting workers and goods in Alaska, especially in remote areas like Unalaska.
There's a whole other layer of commerce that the Testamina provides that's really critical to the Aleutians because it is an affordable way to move certain goods and equipment for contracts in these rural areas that are tough to get into and expensive to ship to and may not have other means of regular shipping services.
The Alaska Marine Highway System has increased passenger capacity on its ferries from 50 to 75%. But at just 1 sailing per month starting this month, McLaughlin says that limited schedule will still make planning a challenge for everyone from city planning departments or contractors to people in the Aleutians who may rely on the ferry system as a means for getting basic things like groceries or medical care. And for local organizations like the Museum of the Aleutians, those limited sailings and the lack of cruise ship tourism are looking bleak.
We're going to see those losses, and it's going to hurt.
That's MOTA Director Virginia Hatfield. She says the museum is hoping to see some tourists this summer. But as of right now, they're expecting to take similar financial hits to last summer's tourist season.
It actually feels a lot like last year when all of the grants started popping up in April, May, and June. And I felt like I was playing whack-a-mole with Write-A-Grant. You know, I was just working real hard to see what was out there and to apply for what was available.
MOTA recently received over $300,000 from the city of Unalaska, but Hatfield says without tourists in the later summer months, they're going to have to find more grant money to fill that gap. Enloe, UVB's director, echoes Hatfield's concerns with finding extra funds.
I honestly was really nervous this past fall and into the winter about how are we going to make it through this, and, you know, fleeting thoughts of having to dissolve the Visitors Bureau and just little things like that, you know, would get to me. And then come January, there was some stuff that started making it apparent that it's going to be all right. You know, it's going to figure itself out.
She says some of the small cruise lines they work with are helping to connect them with grants and possible funding. And the community, including the city, who also awarded the Visitors Bureau a significant chunk of money, has stepped up to show support. UVB recently opened their new location, which is in the Safeway Plaza next to GCI. The Testamina's first sailing to Unalaska is scheduled for May 22nd. Meanwhile, the U.S. Senate on Thursday blocked quick consideration of a waiver that would have allowed foreign-flagged cruise ships to visit Alaska ports this summer. Federal law requires Alaska-bound foreign-flagged cruise ships to stop in Canada. With Canada's ports closed to cruise ships through next February due to COVID-19 concerns, the 19th Century Passenger Vessel Services Act effectively prevents Alaska's cruise season from going forward. Alaska Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski asked the Senate Thursday to fast-track a short-term waiver of the law for voyages between Washington and Alaska. She said hope for a 2021 season was fading.
Back home right now, people are not talking about the season for 2021 coming up. The motto is get through to 22. That's an awful way to be approaching our situation. And so they have asked for help. They realize that anything that we can do to try to salvage even a few weeks of tourist season is going to be important to us.
She offered an amendment to the waiver bill, dubbed the Alaska Tourism Recovery Act, that would require cruise lines to carry defibrillators, provide passengers with a Bill of Rights, and ask regulators to draw up new rules for cruise lines to return human remains when a passenger dies at sea. She said the amendment had been negotiated with two Democratic colleagues. But the waiver stalled after Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee objected to the amendment, calling it a, quote, poison pill. Nevertheless, Alaska Republican Senator Dan Sullivan, who co-sponsored the waiver, said he's optimistic about the bill's future.
Here on the Senate floor, despite what you've seen, there's actually been momentum and movement, and I'm confident we can get there.
Federal maritime law is only one barrier to a summer 2021 Alaska cruise season. Orders from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have prevented large cruise ships from sailing from U.S. ports since last March. Sullivan and Florida Republican Senator Rick Scott recently attempted to fast-track a measure to require the CDC to lift cruise ship restrictions by July 4th. But an objection from Washington Democratic Senator Patty Murray, citing safety concerns, blocked easy passage. The CDC on Wednesday told cruise lines that it remains committed to resuming passenger operations by mid-summer. The Alaska House of Representatives will take more time before beginning the final debate on its version of the state budget. House Speaker Louise Stutes deferred action on the budget yesterday after minority caucus Republicans protested not having dozens of their amendments heard. Early in a marathon day of floor sessions on Saturday, the Alaska House of Representatives rejected a proposal to pay PFDs of more than $3,000 this year. Big Lake Republican Representative Kevin McCabe proposed the budget amendment to pay dividends based on the formula in state law at an estimated cost of more than $2 billion.
This is simple. We either follow the law, we are going to vote for a full PFD, or we're not going to vote for a full PFD.
Anchorage Republican Representative Sarah Rasmussen tried to show what it would take to balance the state budget with full dividends without overdrawing from the permanent fund's earnings reserve. Rasmussen, who doesn't belong to either caucus, proposed an amendment that would cut spending on state agencies by an amount equal to the cost of full PFDs.
But the reality is, Alaskans across the state are still asking for services. The MATSU is still asking for troopers. Anchorage is asking for K-12 education. Fairbanks wants the University of Alaska funded. Kenai Peninsula wants their roads plowed. Members on this floor have requested the roads being plowed. Coastal Alaska wants their ferries. Rural Alaska wants affordable heat.
Rasmussen withdrew her proposal, saying it would cause legal problems. Sitka Democratic Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins said he appreciated Rasmussen's proposal.
When you spend down the permanent fund unsustainably, everybody loses. If you like dividends, you lose. You're not going to be able to pay dividends in the future. If you care about ferries or the silver tip maintenance station on the Kenai or whatever your priority is, you lose. You lose. Everybody loses when we start spending down the permanent fund.
But Palmer Republican Representative Delana Johnson said that the state should follow the PFD law.
As we go through this budget, it doesn't say that the permanent fund dividend is paid last, Madam Speaker. It says that we shall pay the permanent fund dividend.
The full PFD amendment failed by an evenly split 20-20. Lawmakers did pass an amendment to the budget on Saturday that will require the legislature to open the Capitol building to the public on or before May 19th. The session must end by that date, according to the state constitution. An Alaska Native fashion model was on the cover of Vogue Mexico for the month of April. And across the state, Indigenous women say it marks an important turning point in how Alaska Natives are portrayed in the fashion industry and mainstream media. Alaska Public Media's Alice Koenig-Glenn has more.
Quana Chasing Horse, who's 18, is a Han Gwich'in and Oglala Lakota model and climate justice activist from Fairbanks, Alaska. During the photo shoot for Vogue Mexico, Chasing Horse says the team of stylists, photographers, and makeup artists told her they had never worked with a Native American model at that level before. In addition to the cover, she also has an accompanying interview article titled From Model to Role Model, Quana Chasing Horse is Changing Everything, and a 20-page photo spread in the magazine. As soon as the images began to circulate, Chasing Horse's phone started to buzz with messages, and it hasn't stopped.
I didn't know what to expect. I really didn't. I knew people would love it, especially natives across the country, and even not just this country, like the world, Indigenous people all over, you know, seeing someone that looks like them and being represented in that way, knowing that we all have similar stories, you know?
Chasing Horse has known since she was 3 years old that she wanted to be a model, but her career didn't take off until the last 6 months. Her first major shoot was alongside her brother last October for Calvin Klein, shot by Alaska photographer Brian Adams. Her image appeared worldwide on billboards, ads, and social media. Afterwards, several modeling agencies reached out with interest in signing her. She chose to sign with IMG Models. Before she became a model, she was gaining recognition for her climate justice advocacy. Her mother, Jody Potts, knew her work in Vogue would resonate in Alaska.
Because of how we support each other, you know, in rising and being a part of the mainstream media narrative. It's huge for everyone, you know. We've been so invisibilized for so long. It's finally awesome to come to see Native people on the cover.
Chasing Horse says she feels that many Alaska Native women have connected with her in recognition of the traditional tattoos that she carries on her face.
I just feel like representing with traditional real tattoos done traditionally, hand poke style, on a cover of a magazine is also very huge. Not just, you know, because I'm also Oglala Lakota. So I come from two different tribes, but I represent each and every one of them because I carry these ones with pride of my Gwich'in culture, and I carry my Lakota nose with pride as well.
Former Miss Alaska 2017 Alyssa London found out about Chasing Horse's cover of Vogue Mexico through the sharing and resharing of social media posts the day it was released. London is Tlingit from Southeast Alaska.
It's so meaningful to have a Alaska Native and a Native woman on the cover of Vogue because there has historically been an erasure of our people from mainstream media, whether it's TV and film or a cover of a magazine.
Raina Thiel, who is Athabaskan and Yupik from the Bristol Bay region, says she had never seen a Native woman, let alone an Alaska Native woman, on the cover of a prominent publication.
the fact that they seem to give her a lot of license too in like how she's portrayed and like authentically portrayed, right? Like, you know, nose ring, tattoos. She was wearing native earrings from somebody who, an artist in Fairbanks, I believe, right? So they were trying to like put her in this box. They were letting her be who she is, and they were letting her speak to the issues that she wanted to speak to, right? And that's like a paradigm shift.
Thiel, like many other Alaska Native women, is eager to see what Chasing Horse does next. In Anchorage, I'm Alice Paniklin.
And KUCB is partnering with Report for America to welcome a new member to its newsroom this summer. Theo Greenlee, coming to Unalaska from Oregon, will begin working with KUCB in June. Report for America, the national service program, announced last week its placement of roughly 300 journalists joining newsrooms across the United States, including Washington, D.C., Puerto Rico, and Guam, as part of its 2021 reporter community. The core of journalists are placed in local newsrooms to report on undercovered issues and communities. Greenlee will be stationed in Unalaska and will help cover regional news in the Eastern Aleutians area. He will also be contributing to daily news production. Report for America is a program made possible through a nonprofit known as the Ground Truth Project. Today is the deadline for community members to submit performance videos to be included in the Aleutian Arts Council's Spring Coffee House. The Spring Coffee House will be held virtually on May 29th. For more information, visit our community calendar at kucb.org. And that's the news from Unalaska. I'm Maggie Nelson, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. Find us online at kucb.org. And please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.